Idabia. That is hello in Garifuna. Welcome to In Practopia. My name is Kim Je, and this is the People, Places, Things Caribbean Show. Today we bring you the second in our two-part series on languages of the Caribbean. Last week we had a great podcast on Creole, and I must say thank you to everybody who loved the podcast, tweeted about it, said they did, liked it on Facebook, shared it. It's been the podcast that has gotten a lot of buzz, and I really appreciate that. That is what In Practopia intends to do, to get Caribbean people and people who love the Caribbean and want to know more about the Caribbean, talking about the good that's happening there, all the work and effort that people are doing to make the Caribbean better. This week, our show is on Garifuna, a language that is spoken in Central America and parts of the Caribbean, and my guest, Mr. Ruben Reyes, his passion about spreading and sharing the language will come right through. It will get you like it got me. My friend, my new Facebook friend, Teofilo Colon Jr., wrote to me how to say welcome in Garifuna, but Teo, I just do not want to chop it up, and when I am more fluent in speaking Garifuna, I will be able to say more in it. But thank you so much for being my friend, and thank you for wanting to share more of Garifuna with me as well. So today on the show, we have, did you know, we have my guest, Mr. Ruben Reyes, and the talk on Garifuna, I think, is going to be, oh, so well received. Also, we will end the show with Ode to the Caribbean, our usual quote, and the announcement of next week's guest. So let's get the show started.
Oh yeah, it's about that time. Pride culture, Caribbean people. Oh yeah, Impractopia, 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 Impractopia.
Every time I hear the theme song, I just feel so happy. It puts me in a really good place. I love it. I hope you do too. Before we go any further, I just have a couple of announcements. So ahead at Infractopia is coming to Instagram at last. And we will be using Instagram to launch our campaigns and challenges. A lot of fun stuff in the pipeline. As soon as we're ready for that, I'll make that announcement. But I just wanted you to know that it is coming. It's taken us a while, but you just have to find that right thing to plug yourself on Instagram for. So we found it, we're working on it, and we will be on the Instagram interspace very shortly. The other thing I wanted to mention is that on my website, www.impractopia.com, I have an ad for Have a Story, Be My Guest. And it's where I ask people if you know somebody or if you're doing good in the Caribbean, please let me know so that we can have you on. I love that. We do a lot of work, but your help is always welcome. A little extra never hurts. And I'm so happy to say that I think it's getting noticed because I have gotten some messages informing me about people who are using the Impractopia to do good in the Caribbean. So, yay! I'm happy for that. It's now time for, did you know, Garifuna. The Garifuna are descendants of West African, Central African, Island Carib, and Arawak people. The British colonial administration used the term Black Carib and Garifuna to distinguish them from Yellow and Red Carib, the Amerindian population that did not intermarry with Africans. Today, the Garifuna live primarily in Central America. They live along the Caribbean coast in Belize, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Honduras, including the mainland and on the island of Roatan. They also live in St. Vincent, Dominica, and Trinidad. There are also Garifuna in Puerto Rico and in the United States, particularly in Los Angeles, Miami, New York, and Chicago. In 2001, UNESCO proclaimed the language, dance, and music of the Garifuna as a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity in Nicaragua, Honduras, and Belize. And without further ado, my chat with Ruben Reyes, teacher, author, and champion of the Garifuna language and culture.
So what I read about the language, it was a shipwreck of African slaves off of the coast of St. Vincent, and they were accepted into the Carib community. Is that the gist of it?
Actually, we will remove the word slave from it,
mm-hmm.
because these were captive people who have been captured in Africa to
okay.
be sold into slavery. And but the thing is, these people never made it into slavery, so they had no experience whatsoever what enslavement is. Even before they intermingled and intermarried with the native people in the island of St. Vincent, they did not have anything to do with enslavement.
And in my reading, I understood that they became such a force for the Europeans that they were shipped off to Honduras. Is that about correct?
It is correct, because these people already knew the intention of the white captives. They already knew their intentions. So when they're mixed with the Carib Arawak people that already existed in St. Vincent, they gave birth to what is known today as Garifuna. So they did resist it fiercely, to the point that St. Vincent was the last island to be captured by Europeans in the Caribbean.
Wow.
And it was until then where they were able to remove the Garifuna people from St. Vincent on 11 man-o-wars or battleship of the British people, and they brought them to the known coastal of Honduras, and specifically to Roatán Island. And that took place on April 12, 1797. That was the time of arrival to Central America.
Okay, so tell me, what was it like in Roatán Island? Were they under any kind of rule, or were they just left on this island to fend for themselves?
Actually, both. They were. It was an island under control of the British and pirates, and then also disputed by the mainland at the time of our arrival. But we were left there, you know, to be able to survive on our own. Basically, wow. Before that, I would like to expand that there were many battles against the British in Yuruming, which is St. Vincent. The name of St. Vincent is Yuruming, which is a name originated from the native people. They used to call it Yolomain. And then eventually it turned into Yuruming, which is part of our language today, and that's how we call it.
Okay.
What is today known as St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
I want to bring about the thought about Garifuna as a Romance language. More literally, Romance languages derived from Latin. I want to suggest that languages that are interlingua or coming from those main languages are an extension and also can be called Romance languages. Do you think that Garifuna is one that can be under this title of a Romance language?
Well, the Garifuna does have nothing to do with the Latin language, first of all. And the origin is not, it doesn't rely in a European language. But comparatively speaking, yes, it could be, it does provide enough material for unification of the language itself for the use by the linguist,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it's not a language that derived from anything that have to do with Latin. It's a language that was already spoken in America prior to Columbus. You know, it's a pre-Columbian language that suffers some changes, which is the introduction of the Carib language to it. Before Columbus, the Arawak people spoke this language. And then the Carib came and conquered the Arawak. So they mixed the language. And evidence to that is that today, we as Garinagu, the male have one way of mentioning and pronouncing certain things, and the female has a different way of pronouncing them. An example to that is like when you say you, the man say Amur, and the female say Bugia. It means exactly the same, but it's ways different by gender.
I did read that, and I was very intrigued by it. I thought, ooh, one way for the man, another way for the woman. But I'm really, really excited about it, that this language has such a history that we don't know about at all. And
correct.
Is it, would you say that it's a language that is more tied to your socioeconomic status? Is it something that every class or social status speaks in Roatán, Honduras, and the other islands that Garifuna is spoken?
It is the language spoken primarily and uniquely by Garifuna people. There is no division of classes among us. Only until we are now introduced into this new society, where now we have in different, maybe not even class, but education levels. But at the same time, we still maintain the respect between the educated one and the non-educated one. So I don't see where we can call that there is different classes among the Garifuna people, but it's a language for all.
Okay, wonderful. And how would you talk to its importance, its priority with the people and countries who speak Garifuna on a global scale?
Well, the language, as you notice, the African American don't have a language of their own. They speak English because that's the language that was imposed upon to them. The same thing with the people in the Caribbean, whether it's English, Dutch, Spanish, you know, and you name it. Those were languages imposed on those people for certain circumstances. Now, if any of those would like to relate to a language that belongs to them, the Garifuna language is available, and it's the closest thing that belongs to all of us in the America, because we were stripped from our culture, our language, and African heritage. But if we need to encounter something close to us, the Garifuna language provides that. Not only the African heritage, part of the African heritage in our culture, in our dances, but also the Amerindian culture, the Amerindian way of life, and the Amerindian language. Because this language is mostly Garifuna. It's mostly Garifuna is what's known today as Carib.
Mm-hmm.
Carib is a name that was, I guess, invented by the Europeans, you know, but the real name was Garifuna. So therefore, the Caribbean area should be called the Garifuna area. You know, the Caribbean Sea, the Caribbean region, it should be called the Garifuna region, because that's the original name prior to them name it Carib.
Oh, wow. Ruben, you're really schooling me. It's making me think quite a bit. You know, as we embrace or talk about or want to understand a lot of our African heritage, we want to understand a lot of the European influence that we've grown up with in the Caribbean and even into North America, wherever African people were deposited, for lack of a better word. And now you're throwing this Garifuna sling at us. That's big for me, and I think I'm intrigued by it. So you've done a lot of work in educating and trying to share the language. Can you tell me what made you want to do that, and how important it is to you to share the Garifuna with everybody?
Since I was exposed into the language from birth, of course, I have learned as an adult how important this language is. Therefore, I decided to recollect words from all over, you know, all over the countries, the Garifuna communities or villages in Honduras, in Guatemala, in Belize, and here in the United States, which resulted in a dictionary. I did write a trilingual dictionary consisting of a section of Garifuna English Spanish, another section is Garifuna Spanish English, another section is Spanish Garifuna English. Because we are trilingual people. In Honduras, we speak Garifuna and Spanish. In Belize, we speak Garifuna and English.
Mm-hmm.
So this dictionary, you know, it really served both communities, right? The Spanish speaking and the English speaking. But furthermore, the Garifuna, you know, goes beyond, you know, the service that provides to us. It goes beyond that. As I said earlier, this is a language that is so important, and that's the reason why I also have developed a conjugation book. I'm working on the conjugation, which has all the forms comparatively to Spanish or to English. We have all those in the Garifuna language as well, because that's what makes it a language. If you can have all forms of grammatical aspects in the language, and Garifuna has that. So again, going back to what do I think about what people should do with this. During my tour in the United States, a lot of people had expressed that, you know, they don't have a language to share with their children. There was a particular instance in Chicago, actually, when we went and showed the Garifuna Imperial movie that I'm a director, a co-director and co-producer. The lady was crying on the mic, saying that, and her two children were there, that although she did not get anything as inheritance from her parents, but now she's very happy to find something that she can relate to and she can transfer to her children, which is the Garifuna language.
Oh, wow. I feel so touched by it. You know what? I want to learn more about the language. I did read up your institute online, and now you have an app available. So the language is becoming mobile, and I think that's really commendable, Ruben, for all that you're doing to spread the language.
Thank you. We're also having Garifuna language classes in the Los Angeles area. For over 4 years, we've been teaching the Garifuna language here. But there is a new development I wanted to share with you. I just got a communication from Puerto Rico. There is an organization in Puerto Rico that are interested in teaching their language to the children. And they try to get the Arawak or Taino language from the people in Dominica, the Kalinago in Dominica. But unfortunately, they find out that the Kalinago in Dominica do not speak the language anymore. So now they approach us, the Garifuna, because they know that the majority of their language is in the Garifuna language. So now they are very interested in having student exchange and learning more how to bring back the language to the Caribbean, to the Puerto Rican area. So I think we're gaining grounds. And going back to the importance or the historical importance of the language, and which also relates to the people, the Garifuna people, I'm switching things around. The Garifuna people are the only children of Africa and America, because we are not just sporadic people that were born here and there. It was a whole community that was born to the African and Caribbean Arawakan people in St. Vincent. So therefore, as I said earlier, you know, it's of a great magnitude. You know, the importance of this language is of great magnitude to the world. So I'm glad that, you know, people eventually may be able to be interested in finding a language of their own niche right here in America.
Yeah. You know, for languages like that that are coming up and people are passionate about sharing it, I know that there's a lot to be done. You know, there's a lot of education. And especially if we want to get Garifuna throughout the region, that everybody understands that is our language as a people. And,
correct.
But it's good that steps are being taken. If they're being taught in schools, people understand the importance of it. And I think the more you know linguistically, the more valuable you are.
Because the language carries the culture, you know, and the culture, you know, the history of our people is embedded in our language, you know, so they can write anything they want. But when we go back and search and research our own history, is exactly embedded in our own language. So that's why I'm doing everything possible to continue working on the development of our language, because not many scholars or universities or education center are interested in developing books, you know, and anything or providing funds for the development of this new language, a relatively new language, you know, maybe one of the newest languages in America, or one of the languages that we're born, you know, that we were born into. But it was modified by our African tongue. And I wanted to clarify also that the language that we speak has very little to do with Africa. You know, you can find few words in it. It's maybe less than 1%. But we do have word like Baba, you know, like Mutu. Baba means father in a lot of African cultures. And Mutu means people. We have those embedded in our language and we speak that today. But when you compare our language to the Wayuu people, or Wayunaiki, in the Guajira region in South America, most of the language that we have relates to theirs. And these people had never been in the Caribbean. They have always been in the mainland South America. I have a comparison to that on YouTube, which is called Wayuu versus Garifuna. You can compare how they speak. Like number two, we call it Biama. It's exactly the same way they call it. They call it Biama. So they were surprised, and we were surprised too, to know that we are linguistic brothers. It goes back to history.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask about the language. Is it a simple language where when you speak it, you spell it the way it sounds? I was looking at the alphabet and it's slightly similar to the English alphabet, but there's no C, but there's a CH.
Exactly. Unlike English, I will say it's more similar to Spanish. You know, it spells exactly the way it sounds.
Okay, so how would I say my name in Garifuna? Or is there a translation for Kim in Garifuna?
No, names remain the same. KIM, you know, it will be the same spelling and it will pronounce it the same way.
How would I say hello, Ruben in Garifuna?
You'll say Mabriga Ruben or Idabia Ruben.
Ida Pia Ruben.
And
Okay.
then that's also similar to how are you, Idabia Kim. Then you will respond Magadiatina Ruben.
Wow.
Yes.
I will be looking up some more. I noticed on the website that the dictionary can take in words up to three syllables. Is that what I read?
No, up to a lot of syllables. It's just that we had a little problem with the small syllables, like one syllable. We had trouble with that, you know, programming and being able to access it online. And this whole word work is done by Garifuna people, including the programming, the development of the website, the development of the app is done by Garifuna people. So we're trying to be independent in the way we do things. We don't want to be told what not to put in there to be able to comply with funds provided or whatever. Yeah, we try to do things the way it is supposed to. But we also welcome help, you know. I hope somebody listens here where they can put their money, because with the work, that's when I decide the dedicate time to do this work that we've done. The dictionary took 20 years. It should have taken less than 10, but because of the lack of funding, you know, I did it on my own, the whole traveling, all by my pocket money. But we can do a lot more if we can get assistance from other people that are concerned about the development of a language of such importance.
There's some groundwork and some solid groundwork that has been done already. What else needs to be done to make the language more embraced, more aware of throughout the Caribbean and the rest of the world?
I could say that number one, we need to spread the importance of the language, the history of the Garifuna people. I noticed in my teaching that when you speak about the language, when you speak about the history, then people become proud and they embrace the language. So we need to be able to go out and start teaching the world about how important is the Garifuna history, and that the Garifuna people have a language that is not just theirs. It's a language that remain here so it can be gotten back. It can be restored in the communities that lost their own language, either from Africa or South America, Central America, what have you. Another thing is we need assistance. We need a lot of help with the development of books. A lot of books are needed in the three languages, but primarily in the Garifuna language. And also breaking down the grammar aspect of the Garifuna. There's a lot of work to do in this language since it's a new language. So we will need assistance with that. We're already doing what we can. We're not going to sit down and wait. But if someone is interested in seeing more about this language, how to make a good curriculum to be taught everywhere else, yes, we are available to be able to participate. And we have people that would like to do something, but always need some additional, you know, help, especially monetary help or institutional, you know, assistances.
You said the word institutional, and I think maybe we need to share with people that Garifuna is not something where you're saying you want to take over from English and French and Spanish, these languages that we've adopted over the years because of colonization in the rest of the Caribbean, but it's a language that can be another language that is that people of the Caribbean are aware of. A lot of people might start begin to or think that you're trying to take over and want Garifuna to be the official language throughout the Caribbean.
In no moment we think about that. It's just that it's always, I see how people are putting Swahili names onto the children, and they try to learn Swahili words and other words related to Africa, because they don't know that we do have a small Africa right here. So this is only to be able to have something of your own, because I speak Spanish fluently. I was educated in Spanish, but Spanish is not my language. The same with English. English is not my language. I can call Garifuna my language because that's my mother language. And a lot of people can call Garifuna their language because historically it belongs to both of us, to the African people in the Americas and to the indigenous people have this language rooted in their own history. But unfortunately, they don't speak the language anymore. Yeah, so no, we're not trying to take over or disrespect people that don't speak their own language. It's just that the reality is that we do have a language that belongs to them, you know, that they may want to access. It's right here. They probably would not get to speak the language fluently, but it's good to know, you know, some words. If you want to say thank you in a language that is yours, you can say Seremi.
Seremi.
Seremi. Seremi sounds very nice and it's a way of saying thank you in our language.
And you know, I'm someone, I always think that the more you know, it makes you even more interesting. And Garifuna is something, yes, I want to know more of, and I will stay in touch with you and the work of the Garifuna Institute, and we'll see what else we can do as partners in the future.
Thank you very much, Kim. I think, you know, we'd like to hear from you more in the future, and also to the audience. You know, it's a great thing that we are here, and thank you for this opportunity to put us out there to this great audience of yours.
You learn something new every day, but that day I learned more than one thing. I learned a whole bunch of things. And like I told Mr. Reyes, definitely I'm really interested in learning more about the language, so I will be keeping in touch with them. And you can do the same. You can email them, visit the website at www.garifunainstitute.com and send them a message. They welcome any kind of assistance, financial or otherwise. So write them at info@garifunainstitute.com. They would welcome it. Time for our Ode to the Caribbean quote. This Ode to the Caribbean is an excerpt from E. Roy Cayetano's poem, Drums of My Fathers. Drums of my fathers, of my grandfathers, of my ancestors, drumming in my psyche. Drums of my fathers, drum, beat. Beat on, drum on, and on. My Garifuna frame and my Caribbean bones tingle, keeping time with the reverberating sounds of the hallowed trunk, of the hallowed trunk, whose roots reach deep in to the hills and the vales and the streams and the soul of Africa. Reach in to the banks and the water and the heart and the mind of the Amazon, of the Orinoco. My hybrid body shakes and sways and rocks and communicates with the blur of wrinkled hands, of hardened hands, with wrists still sore and scarred after manacles and cuffs and chains, gunpowder and bullets and cross-shaped swords that traversed the Atlantic, calling at West African stations and Palm Island studs of the Golden Antilles. And like the antelope skin that captured the clatter and the thunder of the hoofbeat of the herd in the African plains, and the rumble of the thunder of the jungles, and the falls of the Amazon, I stretched and taut, have taken the beating and the pounding, but my spirit and my voice will not be quieted, will not be muffled, for I am the hollowed, hallowed, haloed trunk, and the hills and the vales and the streams of the soul of Africa. Thank you, Mr. Cayetano, for those wonderful words of deep feeling poetry. And I want to thank Mr. Ruben Reyes for being my guest today. Next week, we have the first in a two-part series on Instruments of the Caribbean, and my guest will be Teacher Ragu from Guyana, telling me and us everything that we need to know about the Tassa drum. So be sure to come back for that. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Impractopia. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Impractopia. Impractopia is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Well, that's our show. My name is Kim Zha. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will be right here next time Impractopia.